Good afternoon. We are very happy to see so many of you out here today. I'm Stephanie Carson, Director of Music here, and we are just real excited about what's about to happen. I am pleased to be able to introduce our composer, weekend artist, Mary McDonald. We had the privilege of working with her yesterday, and we're regaled with stories full of humor and faith, and we laughed and we sang and we laughed some more. Her career, or you can read about her bio, but just some highlights. Her career spans over 40 years. with more than 1,200 compositions through anthems, keyboard collections, and seasonal musicals. Our 2022 Christmas Cantata, Festival of Christmas, was hers. And we got many comments. They felt it was the best one yet. She actually directed that Festival of Christmas at Carnegie Hall in November of 2022, her third time performing there. So many well-deserved accolades. We actually have 19 of Mary's anthems and cantatas on our own shelves. She is a woman of great faith. She is full of life and Jesus, and her exuberance is catching. You are about to be dazzled. So please enjoy the concert ahead. Please welcome Mary McDonald. And to begin, we'd like you to join with David on the organ, Mary on the piano, our choir. We're going to sing a hymn of faith together. Please stand. And we are going to sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you. Let us pray.
O Lord, we come into your presence with singing. We know that you, O Lord, you are God. It is you that has made us, and we are yours. We are your people. We are the work of your hands. We enter these your gates this afternoon with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. We give thanks unto you and we praise your name. For you, O Lord, you are good and your love endures forever. We especially give you thanks for this time together as a gathered community to have this concert with Mary MacDonald. We ask your richest blessings upon her and her ministry. We give you thanks for our chancel choir and the music leadership of this church with Stephanie and David. And now, O Lord, as we come before you, knowing that your name is majestic in all the nations, with all the world, we keep silent. Amen.
Oh,
is to be here this afternoon to share the music of my heart with a choir that has expressing their own worship through music. We are honored to get to lead you in this time of worship, but worship is not a spectator sport. We want you to participate, and in your program, there are two opportunities to sing in this next anthem. You will notice all the verses printed to our hope for years to come. We would ask that you remain seated and sing with us on the first stanza, and then at my cue, if you would stand and join us on the final stanza, and we would lift our praise together. O God, our help in ages past.
Oh, God, our help.
Thank you. The piano works. Well, I bring you greetings from the hills, the mountains, the Great Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, where I call home. Anybody here from Tennessee? Besides your preacher, I think I know one here from Tennessee. I think we're all related. There's no fork in our road up there, but it's a joy to be here from the home of Dolly Parton and Big Hair. I'm a lifelong East Tennessee native, having grown up there and met my husband in high school. We've raised our kids there, and now five and almost six grandchildren. It is home, Tennessee Hills, but it's always wonderful to come to Florida and to wake up in the beautiful Sunshine State. I don't know that you know a lot about Tennessee, but there are a lot of little hollers in Tennessee, some kind of rural pockets. And I had the joy a few years ago of being in a little town called Harriman, Tennessee. And you have to be going there to go to Harriman, because you don't just drive by Harriman accidentally. And they invited me to come do a little program for their church, and they'd never had anybody in like that. But the little church secretary inadvertently listed me as Mary McDonald, guest composter. And you all laugh, but that's the biggest crowd they ever had in church. Anywhere. They came out of the wood, we're going to get some compost. But we gave them some composting. And it's so fun to get to come and share my heart. I want to take just a few minutes and give you a little backstory. It is kind of a unique story, because when you find out that I've never had a piano lesson or a lesson in composition, you'll be thinking, why is she even here? But I grew up playing by ear. I've been playing since I was about 5 years old. My mom and dad grew us up in a church that held my membership for 65 years at Central Baptist Church in Knoxville. And it was there that my daddy saw to it we were always on the second pew. We were usually all dressed in the same bolt of fabric. My mama, she was a seamstress, and she'd make five dresses for all us girls and one floral shirt for my little brother. And, oh, I was telling this story in Virginia Beach, and one of my sisters said, that is a true story, but what was bad was when you had a date, and you brought him home, and your outfit matched the pillows. But Mom and Dad got us involved in church. Now, they had us enrolled in all the missions and all the choir programs, and I really believe it's because it was free child care for them, you know, gave them a little break. But when I was in high school, Mama went back to her job as a school teacher. Now, she had tried earlier on to teach some of us kids how to play piano. I'm the youngest of the six children, so she bought the big John Thompson red book, Big Book A. I want to see by show of hands how many of you went through that nightmare, David, of John Thompson. Look at the hands. Go ahead and lift them high. Own it. Yeah, see. Yeah. How many of you are still in counseling because of John Thompson? And I would hear my older siblings trying to play some of the music out of John Thompson's collection. And then when they'd scoot off the old out-of-tune upright, I'd go on there and imitate what they had played and do an arrangement of it. And I would get scolded, Mary Beth, you come off of that, you know, don't be doing that. So I wasn't really allowed to just play what they were playing, so I would make up my own arrangements. And I did that for most of my growing up years. If I'd hear something at church, I'd come home and I'd play it on piano. If I heard it at school, or I heard it on the radio or TV, I would try to imitate it. When I was in high school, Mom went back to her job as a school teacher, and each afternoon, because there was about a 45-minute overlap from the time that she finished teaching and we were released from school, my sister, who's 18 months older than I, were advised to cross the street from Central High School to Central Baptist Church and wait on her to pick us up. Now, we were told to go to the church and do our homework, and I never did. I know that comes as a big shock to most of you. But Ruthie would do her homework, and I would listen to the church organist, who would be usually most afternoons preparing music for an upcoming service. Oh, I was amazed at the magnificent pipe organ that we had in this church, and to listen to Miss Beverly just play it, and I was enthralled with it. I couldn't wait to listen, and I'd sit in the back row of the choir loft every afternoon as she would practice. One day, Miss Beatherly invited me down to the bench, and she asked me to turn her pages on a difficult piece, and I couldn't read a word of music or a note of it, and I just stare at her like, now, do you want me to, now? And she would give me a nod, so I actually got to start turning pages for her in church. When I was a junior in high school, Miss Beverly had to retire due to her health, and at the time we were without a minister of music. I went to our interim minister of music and told him I'd been studying the organ. And he gave me a key. Now, the first time I went in there, and my sister was so mad because I wasn't doing my algebra, but I took my algebra book and put it up on the rack of the organ, and then I would play by ear because there was no music, and I couldn't read any anyway. All the music Miss Beverly had scattered about was now gone. And I would turn pages in my algebra book, and I told her I was studying my algebra. Well, one afternoon, a lady came through. She said, "Mary Beth, I didn't know you played organ." She said, "Honey, in a few weeks, we're having Youth Sunday." Now, when I grew up, we would have Youth Sunday in April, usually the week after Easter, where all the young people had to take a various role. Did any of you all experience that little nightmare? Where we would have a youth pastor, youth music minister. We all had to teach Sunday school, and the youth choir sang. Well, I agreed to do it simply because I had my eyes on one of the young boys in the youth choir. We had a large youth choir, about 80 to 90 kids, and I knew he would never notice me if I didn't do something special. So my organ prelude, I knew he was a fan of Elton John, so I played Elton John's Funeral for a Friend for my prelude, and I titled it in the bulletin, Prelude in A Minor by E. John. Now, my offertory, it gets even better, was the theme of Brian's song. You know, the movie? The theme, da-da-da-da-da-da, makes a lovely offertory, David. And I played that. Of course, the young guys in the back going, "Brian, that's for you." And he asked me out, "Do you know that in 2 weeks we will celebrate our 45th wedding anniversary?" That we have been dating in January 10th of this year, we had dated 50 years. I said, "Gosh, that's a long time. We grew up together, you know. We got our license together. He's just an appendage. It's even hard to function without him on these trips, but we just adopted a dog that he couldn't leave." So, anyway, long story short was I graduated from high school, and my daddy had all five of us girls go to a small Baptist college called Carson Newman. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. In Jefferson City, Tennessee, about 45 minutes from our hometown. And he wanted all of his girls to be able to take care of their families. So he made us major in home economics. Now, my four sisters had preceded me with excellent degrees and awards and whatnot in chemistry and biology and home economics. And I was failing chemistry within 6 weeks. Struggling so bad, I knew I was going to disappoint my dad and get kicked out of the school for failing. I went through the First Baptist Church, which sat in the heart of the campus one afternoon, and I was just going to go pray, and one of the students was preparing for an upcoming recital. Well, I was just overtaken by listening to her play, so I sat and listened to her until she was gathering her things to leave, and I went up to the platform. I said, "May I play the organ?" And she said, she didn't really say a word to me, but turned a little clipboard toward me that had a little pencil, a little putt-putt pencil on the string, and it had a sign up for when you could claim to play on the organ. And I signed up. So the very next Friday at 10 a.m., I knew I'd get to play that organ. Well, Friday at 10 a.m. is chapel. That's when all the students come together for a time of worship. I didn't care. I just wanted to play the organ. So I put my chemistry book up on that music rack. And I played my heart out in that service. I just had to play a prelude hymn and a postlude, and I could do that. But following that service, I noticed coming toward the aisle toward me was the music faculty of Carson Newman. I knew them, but they had no idea who I was. And the head of the department, he came closer. I reached my hand out to his, but he didn't reach his to me. He said, "Young lady, who are you? And why are you playing the organ?" I told him I was a freshman home economics major, sir. He said, "Did you not know only our junior and senior students are allowed to play this organ?" Well, his wife is the organ professor, Mary Charlotte Ball. She stood to my left, and she said, "But excuse me now, was that a Bach prelude you were playing?" And folks, I looked her square in the eyes. I said, ma'am, I didn't mean to. If it was, I'm real sorry. I don't know who she was talking about. But she said, you were playing a Bach prelude, just not quite the way Bach wrote it. I, again, didn't know who she was talking about. But they said, can you come over and meet with us? So it's Friday. I went over to their office, and she played a little something, and she said, play it back. And I played it back. She said, can you play a hymn? I said, I can play all the hymns. And they said, play a hymn. And they just named out hymns, and I would play them by ear. And then she said, play a C major scale. I said, a what? And they knew I didn't know middle C from an X on that piano. She said, you don't know what you're doing, do you? I said, no, ma'am. She said, I'm going to teach you how to play this organ. Well, she decided to take me on as a student, and I was on probation, naturally. But she would assign music that I went to the library and listened to, and I would learn it by ear and show up for lessons and put the music up, and I would play it perfectly. Only I had no idea where I was in that music. I would just assume enough time had passed I needed to make a page turn. She'd reach back, turn the page, and point at the measure. It's a bit of a challenge. But it was her patience, her perseverance. They're seeing potential in me that I couldn't see in myself, that had never been really encouraged much in my childhood. And because of that, I managed to graduate with a degree in organ. I took my first little job as an organist in a small church surrounded by all these ferns you see. They were in front of the organ. And that was a good thing because I really couldn't play the music that was written in front of me. I had such a strong ear that I would be playing the middle of, say, a hymn. Maybe you know this hymn. And then out of nowhere, I would transition. Let me give you a 30-second sample. I played that for, and I was just getting all holy. I got into holy, 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 and I don't know what it. And the pastor said, well, I guess the blind mice needed prayer. I had been serving at church about 6 months before the minister of music gave me a cassette tape, and he said, you need to try to write this music down. He said, you're doing some good things. My husband is an architect, but his mama made him take 8 years of piano. He knew a lot more than I did about music. So Brian drew some staff paper, and he said, well, if you're playing this, you would write this and show me. And together, he kind of coached me through, and we wrote down four pieces. And I sent them to Nashville in 1979, 1980, and they were published. And it was the beginning, and I remember thinking, gosh, that's hard. That's just not anything I ever want to do. I was introduced to a man who came to Knoxville from Word Music to begin a sacred music publishing company, Purifoy Publishing, in 1980. And he was introduced to me by my minister of music, and John Purifoy said, I would love you to write choral music. I said, sir, I can barely write anything at all, but I know I haven't any ability to write theology. And he took a hymnal in one hand and a Bible in the other. He said, this is all you need. But go write something. And I thumbed through the scriptures over and over again. I kept saying the same words, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to you. And so I penned my first choral anthem that was published in 1980 called Seek First the Kingdom. And it was a transitionary piece for my life because the doors began to open. And now over 1,200 songs later in publication, the Lord has just blessed. And I share all this not to brag on what I've done because it's not me. I have still not had a composition lesson. I have not had a piano lesson. This is what God has done. He planted a divine little nugget of a gift. And then I said, Lord, I don't know what to do with it. And he said, I know what to do with it. And I've just trusted him through all these 67 years, and I can trust him all the way till I see him face to face. Now, I say that because in this room, he has given to each of you a divine nugget of a gift, whether that gift be music or it be a gift of math or the gift of teaching or healing or the gift of compassion, whatever your little nugget is. My prayer for you today is that we'll just commit that to him and say, Lord, use us up for your kingdom's work. There's an old song I was introduced a few years ago that I love this little chorus. It says that he will raise you up on eagle's wings, set you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine as the sun, but hold you in the palm of his hand. And I can think of no better song that summarizes my testimony, my love for the Lord, than On Eagle's Wings.
Thank you.
right. How many of you like some Southern music, Southern gospel music? How many of you like the old song, Down by the Riverside? Well, we have got this with It's Me, Oh Lord, Standing in the Need of Prayer. And we worked yesterday about 3.5 hours. We spent about 3 hours on what we're going to do on this piece and 30 minutes on the rest of the music. But I taught them the art of squatting. And so you're going to get to watch your people try to get back up. But we had a good time with this. I love this good old fun music. It's fun to play, fun to write. And I was in a little church in another little pocket of Tennessee, East Tennessee, and went there to serve for about 6 weeks while their pianist was out having a baby. The pastor of this little small congregation, big old burly guy, he came up to me. He said, little lady, I'm going to tell you all you need to know about my church. I got 500 people and 7 last names. Don't say a word about nobody. But they love this kind of music. And I tell you, we had revival in the church from when the song was sung. So enjoy, Down by the River. Do a couple of songs for you. We're going to wind things up here in a minute. And thank you again for coming and being such a warm and receptive people today. I was thinking of all the songs that I have composed, and there's one common theme in all the music, is that Jesus loves us, and He has given us all the tools that we need in our tool chest to sustain us through our earthly life. Taught us how to love each other. And this first song speaks about his love for us. And the second song, By Our Love, speaks of how we go forth and how we love each other through the eyes of Christ, loving with his hands and wrapping our arms around each other so that they will know us by our love. It makes such a difference. I think when people see Christ in us, that they will be curious and want to know what it is. It makes us unique. And I think Christians should outshine the world. We don't need to be like the world or of the world, but to be God's children and shine that light for him. So this first little song is one that I did for a church in North Carolina. They commissioned it to in memory of a little two-year-old boy that the church family had prayed for this couple for so long to have a child. And then he was born, and at 2 years of age, one morning, he just didn't wake up. And they couldn't understand why and commissioned a piece that would bring some sort of closure and some understanding to the congregation. And I was inspired to write a setting of this old hymn, perhaps the first one that many of us have ever learned, Jesus Loves Me. And I was doing this song with a church, a Moravian church in North Carolina, not too long ago. And I was sharing this story about the little boy. And there was a mama seated about a third of the way back who kept waiting. And I thought she was maybe just the church crazy, because there's usually one in every church. So I ignored her, but finally it got to where no one could ignore it. And I said, ma'am, is there something you wish to say? She said, I'm Colin's mama. And I had never met her. She stood up. She was great with child. They've since had three other boys. And God has blessed them abundantly. But they will be reunited with their little son one day. This is a precious song not only about children, but how we are all children of God, followed by our love.
Oh,
The time is now. Come, church, arise. That is our call to you today. Love with his hands, see with his eyes, bind it around you, and let it never leave you. And they will know us by our love. I hope that is a text and a chorus that you can take with you when you leave this place. Church isn't something that just happens to us when we're here. It's something we live out there. And so may that be your mission, is to take Christ's love to the world that needs love more than ever before. I want to thank you for loving me, for inviting me here this weekend. It has been a joy to get to come and to be with this incredible choir. Aren't they wonderful? Woo! And I want to thank again wonderful David over here, David Ferron, the organ. Is he amazing? Y'all are so blessed to have him, and to have the incredible quarter of a century ministry of Miss Stephanie over here. Let's thank her. She looks so young. I said, you must have started when you were six. Well, I want to thank you again. I want to close by telling you a quick little story, and then we're going to sing a final song and a benediction for you. But this is something that happened to me in 2016. It actually changed the trajectory, because I've been kind of on a path of doing just the same old thing since 1980, writing music, raising kids, and that type of thing, playing in church. But in 2016, a couple of friends of mine, Joel Rainey, who you may know, I think he's been here, Joseph Martin, and I were invited to Houston as part of a music conference, and we were to arrive on Thursday to meet with a mass choir of about 300 voices. We had a wonderful orchestra, and each of us had selected two of our anthems to present with the mass choir on a concert on Friday evening. So on Thursday, we arrived to rehearse, and when I got to the large church there in Houston, one of the ministers of music from a church in the Metroplex called me over to the transept, and he said, hey, I wanted to give you my church's newest CD. The summer before I was there, this was the end of January 2016, so it was summer 2015, his choir had recorded several anthems to give to their friends and loved ones, and had used the piece we opened with tonight, Sing and Be Not Silent, as their opening cut. And so it was the title. He said, it's just become one of the church's, their choir's favorite pieces. But he said, I need to tell you this story about this song, if you've got a minute. And folks, I don't know how to share it, except this isn't my story. This is a story told to me. But it impacted me for what we are all doing in God's kingdom. And then briefly, I'll just relay the story to you, because in the summer that it was recorded, and prior to that, his daughter had met a young man who came from north rural Arkansas. This young guy grew up in a small, small church, not even with seven last names. A small church where they didn't have a choir. They didn't even have a loft. When it came time for choral singing, just anybody that wanted to took a hymnal and went up on the platform and sung. And a mama would hold a baby in one arm and a hymnal, and they would just yell out a hymn and sing it together. That was the extent of the choir that he had ever known, until he moved to Houston to go to college. And there he joined Tallawood Baptist Church and met the minister of music's daughter, fell in love, and he got married. Now, this church is huge. They have 150 every Sunday, and they have a full orchestra each week. And so you can imagine the contrast of his Arkansas church and that church. But the CD was recorded in that summer, and in August of that summer, his little 10-year-old sister was involved in an accident that stopped her heart. And they worked over a minute trying to reestablish a heartbeat, finally getting a heartbeat. And he said he didn't know a whole lot about the particulars of her story. But at Christmas in 2015, this young man returned home to give his mama one of the church's new CDs. And the story goes that a week after Christmas, this mother was driving this now fully recuperated little 10-year-old girl again on the road up in Arkansas and said, why don't we listen to your brother's church's CD? The little girl popped it in, and the orchestra began to play Sing and Be Not Silent. And as the choir began to sing, so sang the little girl. Sing to the Lord and be not silent. Sing to the Lord and glorify. And it's not a familiar hymn. It's not even a familiar tune. It's completely original, but she knew every word and every note of a song she could never have heard. And so taken aback was the mom that she pulled the car to the side of the road. When the song finished, she stopped the player. She said, "Honey, how do you know that song?" And the little girl innocently looked and she said, "Mama, they were singing it in heaven." And there's no other explanation for how the little girl knew that piece, except for that minute, she was in heaven. And what that, Carlos just, I mean, I was just dumbfounded when he told me, and he said, "I just want you to know your music is there." I went to dinner that night with Joel and Joe, and I relayed the story to them, as I have to you, and all three of us being composers sat just speechless for 5 minutes. And finally, Joe Martin says, "Mayor, do you think maybe it was there first?" And at that moment, I realized we're not composers or even composters. We are conduits of heaven's music. And somehow through this little gift, God is enabling us to hear songs that are in heaven and to write them and to sing them here. And they have been sung for you in hymnals. Those songs were written that were gifted from heaven as well. And I really believe they have been given to us as a hope, as something to hang on to, that just to cling to, a way that if for the moment that we have the privilege of singing, heaven touches earth. And we join with the saints who have gone before in singing praise to a very real and very heavenly Father. There's an old hymn, I think we sung it this morning, didn't we? Blessed Assurance. And when y'all sang the words, it popped out at me. It says, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." That's what this is, just a foretaste of glory divine. I spoke to you earlier about your gifts, and I believe that through those gifts, we become conduits of God's love through our service. And so I challenge you to become all he has created you to be, to share his love, to be that conduit, to help people see there is a hope and that something better is yet to come. We're going to close with singing perhaps one of the most favorited texts, beloved texts in all of Christendom, "How Great Thou Art," set to a new melody that I wrote several years ago. This was a very challenged piece to try to realize that I was altering a very rich melody, but I wanted to speak the words in ways that would cause people to hear them in a fresh and new. So listen to the text painting as the words are shared. The meaning, the message is all the same, folks. When we leave here, we're taking two things with us. We take our soul and our song. "Then sings my soul." Thank you, and God bless you.
We'd like to thank you all for coming today. Isn't she amazing? I speak for the choir when I say we are very grateful for this opportunity to have worked with her, a time where we all grew spiritually and musically. I know you all were moved with her gifts as well. I'd like to thank the choir, the extra singers, David Furr, our wonderful organist and pianist. And there will be people at the door as you leave holding baskets to help with the costs of this. We thank you in advance for your generosity. Before our last anthem, Behold Our God, which is Mary's favorite, please join me in thanking her once again and sharing her time and talents today.
Thank you. Oh.